Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 22. This is a very familiar story. And, you know, reading these things year after year over and over again and preaching about the same thing over and over again, doesn't it get tiring? It's a challenge to come up with something fresh. However, we'll see if we can come up with something fresh. This story, again, you know. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in a parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my banquet. My oxen and fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized the slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged, and so he sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. And then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. And so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him out into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord. My initial reaction to this gospel reading is the injustice that's it's loaded with, you know, that the king goes out and burns people's cities down because they didn't come to a banquet, etc. It's kind of extreme. And also the contrast between the first part, the parable part, and the little section that we believe is added on by the early church. Obviously, from its content, it is true. What we have here is a story that I think Jesus says, remember, it's a parable, and parables are never what they seem to be, okay? Parables, you always have to go beyond what you see to get the real message, and that's really what parables. Interestingly, Jesus was probably singular in preaching parables at this time in life. Historically, there are no other parables written at that time or known to be written at that time. And so it's very particular to Jesus, and you have to ask yourself, why would Jesus use a parable when he could do plain talk and just get his point across? The reason, we believe, because he's always presenting something that people will understand on one level and invite them to look deeper at a different level to recognize the real meaning and the real challenge of the parable. So here we have a parable about the kingdom of heaven. And obviously, when you read this story, you look at the characters in it. The king, obviously, is meant to be God, if you use kind of that kind of explanation for it. God is throwing out this banquet for his son, maybe Jesus. He sends out people to tell the invited guests that the banquet is ready, which seems strange, doesn't it? In our day and age, you know, we have instant messaging. And you can throw a block party in a matter of 15 minutes if you just know who to call. Just plug into one place and you have the whole world at your hand. The problem for us when we read this is to understand that in those days, the only way of communicating was word of mouth and word of travel. So they didn't have wires and radios and all those kind of things. You had to walk over and give your person the message and then return home. Well, when they had a banquet like this, when they planned a banquet like this or a wedding feast, the invitation would go out months ahead of time, far enough ahead of time so that people would save the date, just like we do today. A month before, you get a save the date thing to remind you to put it on your calendar because an invitation is coming. Well, in those days, that was their save the date, and it could have been months ahead of time. And in the months intervening between then, you got the message, and the actual celebration, this is where the preparations took place. And periodically, they would send out the messengers again to go remind people, the banquet's almost ready, we're still looking at this date, so plan ahead. So after two or three of these rounds of reminders, the message goes out, the banquet is ready, everybody should come. Well, if you're a regular person, you know how you can save a date, but by the time the date comes, all kinds of life has happened. And in this story, they're really punished for having life happening to them in a way. But they're distracted from the original invitation and their original yes, and now they're not going to come at all. And so this king, this god, gets very vengeful and kind of kills them all and says something very unique. And I think this is where the whole thing hinges. The people who were called really weren't ready. So go out into the highways and byways and just bring in everybody who's around and we'll have a party. And the interesting thing is the parable itself ends with the words, "The slaves went out into the streets, gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, and the wedding feast was filled." That's where the parable ends. Now we look at the next part, where the wedding robe is persons there without being properly dressed. That is a reflection added by the gospel writers, reflecting the teaching of the early church, the church at the time it was written. And at that time, by that time, they had gotten into a place where some people were going to be welcomed and some people were not. In other words, you had to qualify in order to come to the kingdom of heaven. And if you didn't qualify, one way of knowing that is the robe of baptism. If you didn't have your baptism robe on, then you could not be part of the kingdom. That's the very beginning of the differentiation and the expectations and the conditions that become part of religion and change the word of God. And that's hard for us to hear because we've grown up with that system. In fact, most of us have that sense of justice and judgment about the folks around us. You know, do they fulfill our rules? Do they follow the way things are supposed to be? A child acts up a certain way or chooses a different way of life, and there's shame brought on because the expectation is, of course, they're going to be a reflection of me, et cetera, et cetera. But all those things, very interestingly, come down to very simply looking at the gospel message of Jesus and his practice and his ministry. We've said this before. Everybody is included. Never was supposed to be exclusive. Became exclusive when people started making decisions without understanding the real bottom line of God's attitude. If Jesus is revealing anything about God to us in this story, it is that. God is for everybody. And there's no qualifications. Now, that challenges a lot of thinking and a lot of theology. I challenge Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Imagine me challenging Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I can't, I know. Because, you know, you don't earn God. You really don't earn God. There's nothing we can do to get God on our side. I know we've been taught that. But that was not Jesus. He never, ever, 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 in the whole of the gospel that they tell all these stories over and over again, never, ever, ever made a condition about somebody coming to God. Never. If you look at the gospels closely, you will see reflections of Paul, who was converted and as a convert became a zealot and had some very interesting interactions with other religions when he went over to Greece and Turkey, etc. And so his theology started to form an attitude that you had no right to God. You had to make yourself available to God by doing certain things, by leading a certain kind of life and having certain kinds of behavior, and all the things that have become the foundation of Christianity from the very early church. That's not to condemn, that's just to underscore the fact that historically all these things have evolved right onto the front page today of the newspaper, the report about the bishop's synod and how all of Francis's wonderful thoughts that everybody got excited about, you know, welcoming gays and lesbians in their marriages and welcoming divorced people to communion and welcoming people who have somehow been broken away from the church for one reason or another, we need to have a different attitude. Well, the bishop's synod just squashed all of that because it's so hard to let go of it. But the truth is here, the truth is very simple. Jesus made it very, very clear. Now, most of us, when we listen to this story, and typically when you read this gospel story, you think the same way I just explained it. God did this and sent out messengers and all the rest of it, and the wedding banquet was filled with all these people. What if the main character in the story, and this is looking at a parable from a different perspective, what if the main character in this story is not God, but is you and I? What if we're the ones in this story who are called upon by God to extend ourselves to the world around us? What is my reaction to the idea that God, as the inviter in this story, invited everybody? Am I ready to invite everybody? I mean everybody to the kingdom. Am I open enough to understand that what we have in our texts and all of our traditions of every religion in the world somehow leaves God in a very precarious place? Not because God is precarious, but because we render God precarious by the judgments and the rules and regulations that we've established as God's will. Right on down to having wars, because God wants us to have a war. What if we're the ones who are invited and hear the invitation? God, as the invitation, giving the invitation, is come to the feast. Jesus, throughout his ministry, called us to come away lots of times. Come away and find comfort in the shepherd. Come away and be the light of the world. Come away from where you are and know eternal life. Come away from the ordinariness of life and find the body, the presence of God. All those invitations are always, always, always to every one of us, wherever we are in our lives, to come away and allow the letting go of what is, with the possibility of what yet is to come. How open am I to give that kind of an invitation to the world around me? And to the invited. God and the invited, interestingly, in the gospel story, if we take this as an image of God, God begins by having a select few coming to the wedding, just the ones who are invited. And when God is disappointed, God is disappointed because they don't come, God suddenly changes and now takes in everybody, the good and the bad, all of them together. And his guests are the ones who fill the feast, and that was his point, to have a feast for everybody. How willing am I in the details of my life, in the people who are a part of my life, how willing am I to be that kind of an invited person? To recognize that all are invited, including me. I am just one of the invited. And to have a sense of humility enough to allow God to be God, to create space where I learn where God can be God in my life, and allow God to be God through the actions and the choices of my life. Jesus came to teach a way of life. And the way of life is not captured in the words. but in the revelation and the mystery that we find when we respond. It's a sad day, in my mind, for the Catholic Church, but for all the churches, because we have not moved a whole lot closer to the Jesus message that we hear in the gospel, but rather have found ways to qualify it and pick and choose and create something that gives us comfort and solace, but isn't quite Jesus. It's very Christian. It's not very Jesus. So the gospel story, even though we hear it over and over and over again, I think, brothers and sisters, as many times as we reflect, the Spirit of God who abides with us can indeed open us up to a different point of view. And I do believe, and from my history, I have to acknowledge that you never know how God is going to break into your life, nor where God will take you if you say yes. Being open to the possibilities is the bottom line of faith. And the character of true faith is total inclusiveness before God of everyone. It's my thought for Sunday morning. Amen.